Do our Bible reading.
The Bible reading this morning comes from Ecclesiastes 1, verse 1 to 11. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What do people gain from all their labours at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was already here long ago. It was here before our time. No one remembers the former generations, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them.
Thank you, Anna Maria. And good morning, everyone. Well, I certainly hope that our Bible reading has managed to cheer you up. For what a positive and uplifting message. If you're feeling a little bit down and a bit miserable, then surely this is the encouragement you need today. Meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless, everything is meaningless. But of course, the book of Ecclesiastes was not in fact written in order to cheer us up, at least not in the first place. This book was written to help us to get real. Because this is wisdom literature, and wisdom literature helps us to think about the deepest and the most important questions of life. It helps us to think about questions of origins. Where did we come from? How did this world come into being? Questions of identity. Who really am I? What is humanity all about? Questions of purpose. Why are we here? What's it all mean? What's the point of it all? Questions of morality. How should we live? What's right and what's wrong? And why does it even matter? And questions of destiny. Where am I going? And what will happen when we die? But this can be challenging, can't it? For we don't often consider things like this. We live in a society where we would rather ignore such weighty matters. The poet T.S. Eliot once wrote, "Humankind cannot bear very much reality." And how true that is. That's why people tend to focus on the frivolous. And when they're forced to think about bigger matters in times of struggle or hardship, they get depressed. And when they're depressed, they look for ways to escape. And we live in a context where the means of escape are endless. Drugs and alcohol, travel and experiences, gaming and fantasy, sport and fitness, shopping and consumerism, movies and entertainment, dating and promiscuity, promotion and achievement, hobbies and home improvement. We have obsessions and addictions of every kind. Anything to keep us busy so that we feel we've got purpose and don't have to think about anything that truly matters. But do we really want to live in ignorance, never grappling with important issues? Well, the author of Ecclesiastes certainly didn't. But who was that author? Well, chapter 1, verse 1 says, "These are the words of the teacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem." People have long debated who this is because there's no actual name given here. But at the end of the day, the most likely is King Solomon, the literal son of David who was known for his wisdom. Do you remember how back in 1 Kings chapter 3, God appeared to Solomon in a dream? And God offered him anything his heart desired. And what Solomon asked for was a discerning heart. And this pleased the Lord, who gave him great wisdom, more than anyone who had come before and more than anyone who would come after. And this was soon demonstrated, as you might remember that story where he ruled between two women in a dispute over their babies. Solomon became legendary for his discerning words and teaching in Israel and throughout the whole world. And thus it's also Solomon who is named as the author of the book of Proverbs and of the Song of Songs. And there's no reason to think he's not also not the author of the book that comes between them, the book of Ecclesiastes. And what we find in this book is Solomon in his deep wisdom, wrestling with the enigmas of life, particularly in terms of human purpose and significance. But as we read his words, we discover that he's wrestling with the enigma of our lives too. Because even though this was written so many years ago, it's also so true to our experience here today. And so Solomon is contemplating the big picture, life in its broader sense. And as he begins, he states his overall conclusion right up front. Verse 2, meaningless. Meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. This word meaningless is a dark and desperate word based on the Hebrew hevel. Older English Bibles use the word vanity to translate it, vanity defined as emptiness or worthlessness. But today, of course, vanity makes us think of pride and self-admiration, so it's not such a helpful word anymore. Hevel means brief and unsubstantial, hollow and frail, pointless, futile, absurd. And this is what Solomon concludes when he thinks about the world and human existence, the entirety of life in this universe. Everything, he says, is absolutely and utterly meaningless. But why would he say that? How's he come to this dismal conclusion? Well, he goes on in the rest of the passage to provide six reasons. And the first of those is that life is drudgery. Verse 3, what do people gain from all their labours at which they toil under the sun? In life, we have to work, don't we? And work's hard, work's boring. That's why we talk about the daily grind, about the hard slog, about the rat race. Every day there is more to do, another meal to cook, another class to teach, another car to repair, another customer to serve, another nappy to change, another sermon to write. We get up, we do what we need to, we bust our guts, we get tired, we go to bed. And the next day we do it all over again. Another assignment to complete, another job site to work on, another lawn to mow. We clock in, we clock out, clock in, clock out. Until the day when we will clock out for the last time. And what do we gain? Well, we work to survive. But what's the point of it all? Will anyone really care one day about all that effort that we put in? What do we really gain from our labour? Life is full of drudgery. But in verse 4, Solomon adds that life is also fleeting. He says, generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. Do you ever think about the fact that other people once lived in this place where we do, walked the same streets, saw the same sights? They had hopes and dreams and ambitions, didn't they? But now they're gone, and we're in their place. And one day we'll be gone, and others will take our place. Because life is just a few short years. For some, it's cut tragically short. They barely get a chance to do anything. While others last for 60 or 80 or maybe 100 years. But what's that really in the scheme of things? We all know that time flies. I can't believe it's the end of another year already. And one day we're going to look back and feel like it all just slipped away. Psalm 39 says, "Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. Surely everyone goes around like a mere phantom. In vain they rush about, heaping up wealth without knowing whose it will finally be." And James chapter 4 says, "Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow. Life is drudgery, but life is also fleeting." But then the third thing that Solomon reminds us of is that life is also repetitive. Verses 5 to 7 says, "The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again." Every single day the sun comes up and it travels across the sky and then it sets. Always the same, never any variation, never getting to where it's going. Every single day the wind is blowing this way and that without logical purpose. It's always busy, but yet it's never finished. And every single day the water flows from the rain to the streams, to the rivers, to the sea, but yet it's never full. Like a bath without a plug, just going round and round. But the point is that this mirrors our human experience. Life is tedious. We go through the motions day after day, week after week, decade after decade. It's little wonder that we try to escape the monotony. But then we discover the thing we escape to develops its own monotony. For life is incessantly repetitive. But it's also unquenchable. Verse 8. Solomon writes, "All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing." Have you ever noticed that human beings have an unappeasable desire to have more and more and more? We want more money, more holidays, more food, more technology, more sex, more leisure, more attention, more influence, more time, more possessions. But no matter how much we have, it's never, ever enough. A previous pastor of this church used to remind us of how one of the Rolling Stones' best-known songs declares, "I can't get no satisfaction." And Mick Jagger is famously quoted as saying that he'd rather be dead than still singing that song when he's 45 years old. And now he's over 80 and he's singing it still. But it's true, isn't it? We can't find no satisfaction. We're always longing for more. We spend our days thinking, if only I had that. If only this was better. Then I'd be happy. And then we get it, and we're not. Chuck Swindoll puts it like this. He says, "The itch for things, the lust for more, so brilliantly injected by those who peddle them, is a virus draining our souls of happy contentment. Have you noticed? A man never earns enough. A woman is never beautiful enough. Clothes are never fashionable enough. Cars are never nice enough. Gadgets are never modern enough. Houses are never furnished enough. Food is never fancy enough. Relationships are never romantic enough. Life is never full enough." The eye never has had enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. Our lives are unquenchable. But verses 9 and 10 remind us that life is also unoriginal. What has been, it says, will be again. What has been done will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already long ago. It was here before our time. There's a saying, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And how true that is. We may think that things are advancing. We may think that we're making things better. We may think that we're coming up with something new, but are we really? I mean, politicians base their whole careers on this, promising at last they have the solution to our problems. They've got a new plan to improve society. If we would just vote for them, then things will be different. And then they're not different, are they? We have all the same problems, just with different ways to experience them. Instead of battling with tuberculosis and polio, we now battle with heart disease and cancer. Instead of being robbed by a thief in the night, we're robbed by an online scammer. Instead of coveting a new ox or donkey, we covet a new ram or Mustang. Friends, there truly is nothing new under the sun, as much as we try to convince ourselves that there is. Our generation hasn't come up with anything original. Everything that is has been before, and we're nowhere near as innovative as we think. So we've seen that life in this world is drudgery and fleeting and repetitive and unquenchable and unoriginal. But finally, Solomon points out that life is also insignificant. Verse 11, no one remembers the former generations, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. We spend our whole lives trying to establish a legacy, don't we? Something to last beyond ourselves. We strive to be special and remembered for what we've done and who we are, but we won't be. You do know, don't you, that billions of people have lived and died before us, and only a handful of them are in the history books. In fact, I wonder if even one person here this morning knows the names of all 8 of their great-grandparents. If we don't even remember their names, well, then we certainly won't remember who they were or what they achieved. Let's be honest, they're gone and forgotten. And the same will happen to us. Do you really think that your descendants are going to sit around talking about you? Will they care about how good a parent you were or about the work you did or the house you built or the holidays you took? Will they sit there looking at your photos or reading your diaries? Solomon even points out to us that those who are yet to come, children who haven't even been born yet, that even they will be forgotten by those who come after. Life is insignificant. And so in all of this, Solomon paints us a grim picture, doesn't he? Life is drudgery. What do we gain? Life is fleeting. Generations come and go. Life is repetitive. The same things go round and round. Life is unquenchable. We are never satisfied. Life is unoriginal. There's nothing new under the sun, and life is insignificant. We're soon to be gone and forgotten. And from these stark realities, he draws his thesis. Meaningless. Meaningless. Utterly meaningless. Surely there's no other way to conclude. Life is absurd, pointless, and futile. But he's not alone, because friends, this same conclusion has been reached by many. Ernest Hemingway once wrote, "Life is just a dirty trick, a short journey from nothingness to nothingness." Leo Tolstoy said, "Then what is life for? To die? To kill myself at once? No, I'm afraid. To wait for death till it comes? I fear that even more. Then I must live. But what for? In order to die?" Or William Shakespeare once wrote, "Life's but a walking shadow, A poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Solomon and so many after him have concluded that life is meaningless. So it's little wonder that when people today actually face the big questions, they feel such futility, are filled with such despair, and are so desperate to escape. But if that is so, then I want to ask you this morning, are they right? Is this true? Well, the answer is yes. Yes, life is pointless and futile when viewed from a certain perspective. You see, Solomon, in his introduction, is intentionally and deliberately looking at life in this world from a very specific viewpoint, from a very particular angle. And we see that in three little words that appear over 30 times in this book and twice here in our passage. They are the words, under the sun. Did you notice verse 3? He says, what do people gain from all their labours at which they toil under the sun? And again in verse 9, he says, there is nothing new under the sun. And friends, this is no accident, because this is Solomon's hint to show us that what he's doing here in these verses is literally playing devil's advocate. He's analysing life on the presumption that this world is all there is, and that what we see around us is the sum total of reality, and that there is no God. In other words, Solomon is analysing life from a secular perspective. And when you analyse life from a secular perspective, you have no choice but to share in his conclusion. For if this is all there is, then life is utterly empty. If we are just the product of a cosmic accident, evolved from pond scum, ruled by luck, living for no purpose and destined to return to nothingness, well then of course life is all meaningless. But that's the whole point, isn't it? Solomon wants us to see exactly how futile life would be if we would live with a secular, non-spiritual worldview. If we would live completely under the sun. And this futility should drive us to look beyond the sun to the God who takes our futility away. There's a quote from long ago which says, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person, and it can never be filled by any created thing. It can only be filled by God, made known through Jesus Christ. Friends, our lives only have purpose and meaning when they are lived in relationship with the Lord. For he is the one who made this world in which we are living. And he is the one who made us in his own image. And he is the one who chooses the day on which we were born and who chooses the day on which we will die, all according to his perfect plan. And he's the one who guides our steps and the one who gives us work to do and who uses our humble labor for his ultimate good. And he is the one who provides satisfaction in the repetitions of life and contentment in the things that we have and fulfillment in our place in history. And he is the one, my friends, who will remember us beyond the grave, for we will live with him forever if our names are written in his book. And we have all of these blessings in his Son, Jesus Christ. For we turned from God and fell into sin. And in our sinfulness, we were searching for meaning without him. But our search has dismally failed. But even so, God sent his Son to redeem us from our sin. And in so doing, he also redeems us from our meaningless existence. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Friends, it is by faith in Jesus that we find our meaning. Or think of Ephesians chapter 4. Paul writes, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus." Friends, have you grappled with the deep questions of life? Perhaps you never have. Perhaps you're just living for worldly things, never even thinking about why you're here or where you're going. Well, one day you won't have a choice but to think about those things. But if you have wrestled with these issues, then maybe you're actually wondering about the point of it all. Perhaps like Solomon, you're starting to think life is meaningless. Well, if that's you this morning, then I want to urge you to stop living under the sun and to look beyond the sun to the God who redeems us from this empty way of life. Look to Jesus, because he is the way and the truth and the life. He is the one who came that we might have life and have it to the full. He is the one who came that we might know God and live our lives for him. Jesus suffered and died on that cross to rescue us from our sin. But Jesus also suffered and died on that cross to rescue us from our futility. And now we are called to love and to glorify the very God who made us. That is the chief end of man. And we are called to serve him in this world, to build his kingdom. That is our privilege. And we are called to bear witness to his gospel truth. That is our mission. And may these things inspire us as we're on the cusp of a new year. May 2025 be a year for us to refocus on the very purpose that God has put us in this world. And friends, let us never forget that the day is soon coming when he will take us beyond the sun to live with him in our eternal home. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for helping us to think about the big questions. And Father, thank you for showing us the utter hopelessness of life without you. Lord, may this knowledge drive every single one of us who are here today to look beyond the sun. May it drive us to put our trust in Jesus Christ, who alone can save us from our empty way of life. And Father, as we trust in him, may we find true purpose and meaning. Lord, please fill us with a desire to glorify your name in all the earth. Please fill us with the desire to serve you for all of our days. Please fill us with the desire to bear witness to your mercy and to your grace. And Father, help each one of us to long for eternity when all of these earthly struggles will be gone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.